You sure you don't want to come along with us, Michael?
Dean was astride a little pinto pony. Michael was sitting on the swing seat, a foot trailing on the weathered boards. The baby dozed in his lap, wrapped in a swaddling patchwork blanket.
Guess not, Dean. Thanks. I'll stay here and play man of the house. Milk the horses, walk the pigs, whatever it is. I'll look after Christina and Jenny. It's a tough job, but someone has to do it.
Over the past day and a half, Michael seemed to be making a serious effort to pull himself together. He joined them at the table for all the meals, obviously trying to enter into the conversations and the plans for the hunt. But the strain on him was still clear. There was a tightness across his cheeks, and the youth seemed to have lost a startling amount of weight since their arrival in old New Mexico, though he hadn't appeared to be eating any less than usual. Dean had told his father a day earlier that he'd seen Michael out behind the smallest barn, on his hands and knees, finger down his throat. He'd puked up the entire eggs and ham breakfast he'd just eaten. Now Christina stood next to him, wiping her hands on her apron, a smear of flour on her right cheek. Christy looked at her from the back of a speckled roan.
You don't want to make a real expedition of this? Could still take a picnic and I'll go.
Jack's wife smiled and shook her head.
You got a good day for it. Jenny'd slow you down some. No, we'll all three stay right here. Michael's got plenty of chores. Barn needs sweeping out and the hayloft could do with some attention. We'll work the day away while you people all play.
Jack stood quietly by his midnight black stallion. He handed the bridle over to JB and went to kiss his wife goodbye.
See you later, dearest.
They didn't embrace. There was that ease of love between them that generally comes to couples who've shared each other's company for many years. Jack kissed her once on the cheek, and she touched his face with her fingers.
Come back safe, love.
Will do. Bye.
Taking the reins back and swinging agilely up onto his mount's back, Jack kicked his heels into its flanks and moved off at a fast trot toward the nearby hills, the rest of the group trailing along after him at their best speed. Ryan glanced back once. It was a vision of perfect peace and happiness. A thread of smoke from Christina's cooking oven, Michael waving to them, the child asleep in his arms, the woman taking off her apron to wave it over her head, stepping with a clumsy grace down the three wooden steps to the yard. They were strung out over 100 yards, Jack leading, with Doc on a raw-boned gray gelding bringing up the rear. Ryan allowed his own horse to fall back off the pace to accompany the old man for a while.
You enjoying this, Doc?
You wish for the truth or for the diplomatic lie, my dear fellow?
I thought you'd done a fair bit of riding, Doc, way back in...
My past life? My idea of riding, Ryan, was a gentle canter along Rotten Row in London's Hyde Park on a well-schooled, broad-backed ambler, raising my bowler to the many elegant courtesans, admiring the fetching way they set their silver spurs into their spirited stallions, allowing my thoughts to wander away along rather forbidden lines, I fear.
Doc grinned at the salacious memory.
Though my suspicions at the time were that every single one of the sporting chaps watching the pretty little fillies at exercise were fancying themselves prancing between their thighs.
But you were a respectable married man, Doc. I'm shocked at you.
I was shocked at myself, my dear Ryan. But as for this creature, I shall be damnably glad when we reach our destination and resort once more to the legs God gave us. Walking would be preferable to bouncing along on this articulated sawhorse of an animal.
We'll be at the place Jack mentioned in about an hour, Doc. Can you hang on till then?
An hour is approximately 59 minutes too long. But I shall relish the pleasure of ceasing this painful mode of transport all the more when we stop.
They finally stopped about an hour and a half later. Jack had led them upward on a winding trail that gave them a view across the scrub plain below, the gray dust vanishing away to the shimmering blur of the horizon. The house and the slant-roofed barn stood out, seeming to be surrounded by rectangles of finely ground emeralds, where the irrigation had brought fresh life to the desert. Then the path wound higher, snaking around the flank of the mountain, rising higher, and taking them out of sight of the laurel spread. The trails finally leveled out again in a clearing among some live oaks. Doc swung his leg across the pommel and nearly fell as he reached the solid ground.
Oh, praise the Lord, and pass the ammunition. For this relief, much thanks.
All of the horses were tethered to a rawhide rope, stretched between two trees. JB slung the scattergun across his shoulder.
How about Indians?
Lot of tribes. Hopi, Zuni, Navajo, Mescalero, Chiricahua. Get on well with all. Christina attended sick Navajo kid a few months back, and we gave Failed Hunting Pot a young steer. They give furs and bring meat and fish. They know us, we know them.
Wouldn't steal the horses?
No way. Renegade breeds and whites, Mex raiders. Heard about a gang up toward Sangre de Cristo Mountains.
What sort of gang?
Wags, they say.
War wags, Jack?
Sure, Ryan. But talks talk out on the frontier. Never seen no war wags all the time down here.
What sort of armored vehicles? We talking tanks or favs?
Jack's white hair blew in the fresh breeze. His red eyes turned toward the armorer.
Told you, JB, just talk. Probably old truck with sheet of iron stuck up on it.
How far to where we're going to get the deer, Jack?
Dean was carrying a single-shot homemade rifle that he'd been lent for the hunt, and he couldn't wait to get up into the higher country and use it.
Hour, bit more, bit less.
The weather was glorious, unsullied blue stretching from east to west and north to south. Jack knew the countryside around his spread like the back of his hand and drew them higher into the shadowed, brush-lined canyons. The late morning air was still and sultry, making all seven of the companions sweat as they climbed upward between the stark walls of red rock.
Christina loves it here. Says she'd like to be bad up here.
It's a lovely place.
Christy sat down on a rounded boulder.
I wouldn't mind too much if I had to pass eternity here myself. Reserve me a spot, will you, Jack?
Sure. Just for family and friends.
When do we get to the deer?
Soon. Pass old engine ruin. Then trail gets out into open above stream. We find them there.
What kind of a ruin is it, Jack? Anasazi?
Old ones. Heard them called that, Mildred. Pueblo people. Like joint houses with small doors and windows under overhang, farther up the canyon.
I have been fortunate to visit many of the great Anasazi ruins of the Colorado Plateau. The Three Mesas and Acoma, Chaco Canyon, and the wonders of the great Pueblo Bonito.
My minor was Native American sociological groupings. I forded Chinle Wash to look at the White House, back before they stuck those seriously ugly link fences all around them. I've seen a lot of those places as well. Sure is hot here in the canyon. The thing that surprises me is that they were built mostly around the year 1000 up to 1200, and loads of them still survive. Our cities were modern and strong and should have lasted a million years, yet they were all gone within a few sky-dark days. Gone. Forever.
How about the deer? We didn't climb up here to talk about old ruins.
No, boy, but it would be a vile heresy to pass such wonders by without at least the most cursory glance in their direction.
Wow!
Even Dean was silenced by the ruins. They were concealed beneath the lip of the cliff, the rock above stained by the countless cooking and heating fires. The sandstone was also discolored by the rain-leached desert varnish. The adobe was cracked in a few places, and one of the interior walls had collapsed. The site had obviously been carefully explored and excavated by professional archaeologists sometime back before the long winters, and there were no potsherds or other human artifacts in the buildings. The only evidence of occupation was a scattering of animal remains, mostly deer, but with some sheep and even a few horse and cattle bones.
Cougar.
Coyote?
No. Coyote wouldn't climb this high, not dragging haunches of a carcass behind it. Got to be something bigger.
Doc wandered from room to room, ducking to squeeze through the oddly narrow T-shaped doorways, his grizzled head protruding unexpectedly through the dark windows.
This is wonderful. Pure Anasazi. Look at the kiva down there. And another one farther along.
What were they for, Doc? They look like sort of wells or some kind of storage rooms for wheat and olden time stuff like that.
No, dear boy. The kiva was the center of the religion for these ancient people. They believed, simplistically, that the underworld was literally that, existing just below our feet, like a dark mirror of our own universe. So they descended into the kiva for their spiritual ceremonies to be nearer to this world. Oh, this is wonderful, Jack. But I confess some surprise that they have not been occupied.
Jack was sitting on a low, crumbling wall, looking bored.
The engine's scared shitless, Doc. Ghosts of ancestors. Seen scratches on the walls. Spirits like flute player, Cocopela. Locals call themselves Diné. Just means sort of...
The people. A lot of Native American tribes call themselves by their own name for the people. I used to know them all once.
Hey, you still got your throwing knives, Jack? I haven't seen them.
That's the point, kid.
Don't call me... Oh, I get it. It's a stupid joke, Jack.
If you can see the knife, so can the enemy. That's why I keep them hid.
Still practice, though, now you got the family?
Jack looked around the side of the Anasazi ruins, pointing with a bloodless finger at one of the desiccated beams that supported a wall, about 15 yards away.
See that poison bug?
They all looked, seeing the sickly yellow back with leprous silver spots across it, the barbed horns on the insect's head, and the curved stinger, like a miniature scorpion. It was crawling slowly across the rectangular section of wood. From horns to tail, it was less than an inch long, though capable of giving a painful wound from its hooked sting. While they were all looking at the bug, there was a blur of movement from the albino teenager. The needle point of a leaf-bladed throwing knife buried itself in the oak beam, clean through the middle of the poisonous insect's soft body, killing it instantly. A tiny trickle of colorless liquid seeped from the twitching corpse.
Holy shit!
Ryan did the shooting. The powerful 7.62mm round from the Steyr SSG-70 made short work of a couple of young deer, picking them off from the outside of a small herd that Jack had tracked down. The animals had gathered around a shady pond near the head of a narrow box canyon. Ryan had used the laser image enhancer to select his prey, working the bolt action with fluid ease. The first animal went down to a brain shot, and the rest of the deer froze for a vital moment. The second round was a direct hit through the spinal cord, clean and finite. They quickly gutted the dead animals, the blood steaming on the ground. It was a little after 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Jack had brought along poles and cord, making it easy to string up the two limp, lolling carcasses and take turns in bringing them back down the mountainside, toward where the horses were tethered. They had passed the Indian ruins, with Christy leading the way, when the fire-haired woman stopped, putting her hand to her mouth, her eyes glazing.
No. Oh, Gaia, no!
Ryan was carrying the end of one of the poles that supported the smaller of the deer carcasses. He stood close behind Christy when she stopped dead in her tracks, and he instantly lowered the carcass to the dirt and went to her.
What?
Christy turned slowly to stare at Ryan, her eyes blank, as though she didn't even recognize him.
What did you say, lover? I'm sorry, I didn't hear properly.
You seen something?
I thought for a moment. It was like someone projecting a lantern slide on a sheet right inside my skull. A picture of a bloody skull and raw bones.
Who?
The others had all gathered around, the bodies of the animals already attracting the attention of a number of blowflies. Ryan lay a gentle hand on Christy's shoulder.
Who did you see, lover?
I can see you, Ryan. And there's your little boy, Dean. Good old Doc, Mildred, and JB together, and...
Her emerald eyes hesitated on Jack's bone-white face.
And someone else.
I'm Jack. You know me, Christy. Know me for years.
Oh, this is... It's awful. Death and corruption.
Mildred stepped in and gestured for Ryan to move away.
Sit down, Christy. Could be the heat's got to you. Just sit down and take a short rest for a... Don't touch me! I know what I saw. It was death. Dark rider on his dark horse. Ring of bones around his waist. Eye sockets brimming with maggots. Mouth open and tongue like burnished copper. Teeth like spilled tombstones.
You ever known her wrong in seeing Rad?
No, Jack, but she sort of feels danger or a threat. Generally, she can't say exactly when or where it comes from.
Christy arched her back so that her face was looking directly toward the bright sky. Her burning hair tumbled back off her shoulders like spilled lava.
No! When the lamb broke the seventh seal, there was a great silence in the heavens for about the space of 1/2 hour. And I saw the 7 angels that standeth before the Lord God Almighty, and to them were given 7 trumpets.
It's the book of Revelation from the Bible.
The first angel made the trumpet to sound, and there fell hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were thrown down upon the earth, and the third part of all the forests were burned, and the green grass shriveled and died.
It's like she's become possessed.
I know, but I don't know what the fuck to do about it, Mildred.
The second angel sounded, and the blazing mountain was cast into the deeps of the ocean, and 1/3 part of all the waters became his blood.
Come on. We best get back. Leave the venison. If everything all right, we come back for it later.
Christy swayed from side to side, barely retaining her balance, as though she alone could hear the far-off sound of weak piping and a little drum.
The third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from the heavens, blazing as though it were the heart of fire. It fell upon the third part of all rivers and fountains. The name of that star is called Wormwood.
Her eyes rolled up white in the sockets, and she stiffened and fell straight back into the waiting arms of Doc, who caught her and laid her very gently on the ground.
By the three Kennedys, I think that the poor lady has been overtaken by some sort of a fit.
Jack had started to walk toward the tethered horses, a couple of 100 yards farther down the narrow canyon. But he stopped as Christy dropped like a board.
She all right?
Nobody answered. Mildred had knelt immediately by Christy, putting a finger against her neck to check the pulse, peeling back an eyelid. She looked up at Ryan after a few moments.
She's all right, I think. More or less a faint.
Christy's eyes opened, and she gazed blindly at the circle of faces above her.
Everyone's here. Then it was wrong what I thought. Where's Michael?
Back at the ranch with Christina and little Jenny.
The ranch. We should get back there fast as we can.
Jack rejoined them.
What you see, Christy? Trouble at home?
Yeah, but it's fogged. All kinds of people and all sorts of things happening. I just can't see clear at all. But I think we should get going.
Come on.
Jack ran down the slope, his feet kicking up great swimming clouds of vermilion sand behind him. His white hair flowed behind him like a banner of war.
Yeah. Mildred, you and Doc help Christy.
Right.
JB and Dean, with me.
Jack was already in the saddle by the time Dean, fastest over a short distance, joined him. Ryan and JB were only a few paces behind.
Hold on, Jack. If there's trouble, then four of us are better than one.
Make it quick, then.
He jerked so hard on the reins that his mount reared up onto its hind legs, pawing at the air. They all spurred together, stirrup to stirrup, moving down the trail at full gallop. Ryan wasn't the best rider in Deathlands, but his heart was in his mouth as they charged toward the open plain, knowing that if one of the horses put a hoof wrong or rolled over a boulder, then they'd all go clattering down together in a tangle of broken bones. Gradually, more and more of the limitless desert opened before them. The canyon walls gave way, and the trail grew wider. As an albino, Jack found bright light difficult to cope with, though he saw excellently in dusk or darkness. But he was still the first to spot the band of horsemen, 8 or 10 miles away from them, moving toward the south, surrounded by a veil of roiling gray dust.
Look!
He reined in, standing up and shading his ruby eyes with his ivory hand. They all stopped their mounts and looked down. There seemed to be about 20 or so in the group, riding at a good speed. Ryan and the other three were still about 1,000 feet higher than the strangers 4 miles from the ranch. It was only guesswork, but it certainly looked as if the horsemen were going directly away from the Lauren spread.
You make them out? Way they ride, I figured him Navajo.
Could be.
No sign of a fire or anything bad at the house.
No sign of Christina or Michael either. Nobody.
Here are the others. Now, no point in going off like a bat out of hell, Jack.
They're true, Ryan.
They allowed the other three to catch up with them. Christy had been swaying in the saddle, her face almost as pale as Jack's. Ryan rode alongside her at an easy canter, ready to reach out a supportive arm if needed.
I'm feeling better, lover.
You sure?
Yeah. Who are those riders we saw from higher up in the foothills?
Maybe Navajo. Were they the trouble you saw?
I can't tell.
They were now roughly a mile away from the farm. Ryan scanned the area, hoping against hope that he might catch a glimpse of Christina or Michael, standing shy and silent in the shadows, possibly holding little Jenny in his arms. But there was nothing. And nobody.
Dead animals, Dad.
Where?
By the small barn.
Dean pointed with his right hand, nearly dropping the reins as he did so. The rest of the horses were gathered in a tight, nervous group at the back of the corral.
3 calves missing, and some pigs. Dead ones, a goat, and 2 sheep. A lot of blood there.
They all reined in at almost exactly the same moment, about 200 yards from the house. There was a stillness in the afternoon. The horsemen had vanished away south, though the pillar of dust that marked their passing could still just be seen. Off behind them in the foothills, Ryan glimpsed again the snowy egret that he'd noticed around the area since they'd arrived there a few days earlier. The sun was sinking slowly in the west, and the sky was still totally clear of any clouds. Christy caught Ryan's eye and made a slight, imperceptible movement of the head. Ryan nodded, knowing what she was telling him, knowing it himself. The stillness told its own story.
Christina!
All the saddle horses started. Dean nearly lost his seat and almost fell.
We going in, Ryan?
Okay, Jack.
Hold a perimeter?
I don't figure there's any point, do you? Whatever's happened here has happened. It's done.
Ryan slid down and looped the reins of his horse over the picket fence that bordered the neat orchard. One by one, they all dismounted. Jack stayed last in the saddle, as though he were single-handedly holding off the bad news that lay around them. The air seemed to taste of the bitterness of hot iron.
You want us to go in first, Jack?
My house. My wife. My baby.
Sure.
They could have gotten away when they saw trouble coming.
Nice idea. But I doubt it.
A door in the hayloft of the largest barn blew a few inches open, then closed again. JB looked around at the others.
Best get it right. Go double red. Blaster's out and cocked.
Ryan went to the right, around the house, followed by Christy and Dean. JB led Mildred to the left. Jack chose to go straight on in, onto the porch and through the open front door. Christina Lauren was in the kitchen.
No.